Thanks to our wonderful sponsor, Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it easy to create your own website. I talk about these guys all the time. If you're making a website, you gotta go with Squarespace. Stop fucking around with other people and other website makers. Squarespace is the way to go, and if you sign up today, you'll get a free trial and 10% off. Go to squarespace.com and use the offer code June. That's J-U-N-E. Sex is very cool, but very dangerous. We saw Color of Night, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How to Disconnect. We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater, cause you know you wonder how to disconnect. Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am Paul Scheer, joined as always by June Diane Raphael. How are you, June?
I'm good, Paul. How are you?
Very good. Jason, how are you? Jason Mantzoukas is also here.
What? Oh, my God. Sorry. So good, Paul. My life is awesome.
We have a very special guest. Please welcome Amy Schumer.
Oh.
Welcome to the show, Amy.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Do you have a prepared statement?
Well, you know what? When you just said, how did this get made? I was like, oh, I know this. I thought we were doing a different podcast for some reason. I thought How Did This Get Made was like you guys just giving information on like how great movies got made. I feel so misinformed.
That would be amazing.
That is not what happened.
So then, then they hired D.P. Haskell Wexler. And when that move
was made, there's a camera tester.
Costumes played a very big part in this movie. Inside Amy Schumer, by the way, is back on Comedy Central. What time is it?
10:30 on April 1st.
So there you go.
Cannot wait.
Please.
So good.
So good.
So good. This movie, so bad.
Oh, this movie. I loved this movie because I saw this movie on a date in what year? High school, right?
Sure. 1994.
Okay, so college. And I watch it now and I was like, because they at the time there were, and I could see them selling Bruce Willis on this, like the existing, like erotic thrillers.
Sliver and,
you know?
And Basic Instinct.
Yeah,
and
like, exactly. That was like a real thing. And even if you went back to like Body Heat and like the De Palma movies of like the late 70s and 80s, like that's a real thing. This was horrible.
This gave no answers and didn't really ask questions.
No.
Well, this was also during the time, when was this made?
94.
But it was also like during the time when like therapy and psychoanalysis was like sexy and like getting into people's
minds. Because the amount of like
cell phones
are crazy.
But the amount of like therapists, I know I'm in therapy. I've been to therapy for a long time.
We get it.
Fine.
Same.
I believe in mental wellness. But the amount of like alpha males, kind of aggressive, rugged men who are analysts.
Yeah.
And they're like those.
The offices.
I've never seen those.
Oh, yeah. The offices
are like these power attorney. Like, there's no bad boys of psychology.
Where's all this money coming from?
That exists.
But that's the. I feel like what actually is shocking to you, me about you saying it's from 1994 is that it feels like it's a Michael Mann movie from 1984. It feels like has that kind of LA, like very kind of that sheen that everything is like power suits and this and exactly. But the power dynamics are all of the mind.
Well, that's, I mean, I feel like this is a movie. Like, I felt like it was being acted like a college play. Like, everyone's like, we're doing something important. Yes. We're selling this important thing.
It was humiliating to see them perform to the best of their abilities. Like, to see Leslie Ann Warren, like, bringing it on every take.
I thought she was great.
She was the highlight.
She was amazing. I'm not kidding. I thought she was great.
I thought she was great. I can't lie because I feel like it should be your thing that you think she was great, but I also thought she was interesting to watch.
See, I couldn't take my eyes off of her. I didn't know she was the only one.
I will say that.
Really?
I think she was far and
I
above.
Thought some of those group scenes had their moments. Like, I thought Lance Hendrickson was good in some scenes. I thought Brad Dourif was okay in some things.
Is that One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest? The Billy Bivitt guy?
That's Brad Dourif.
Yeah.
That's the OCD guy,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
The other guy, Lance Hendrickson, he played the robot alien in Aliens.
Yeah.
But he's the guy who, like, his wife and kid were
Alien. No, that's Aliens. Paul Reiser.
No, he was the guy with the knife through his fingers. Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
But regardless what part he played in Aliens, he was... this movie, I mean... The other thing, too, is, like, I didn't understand the whole idea. Just so if you guys have not watched this movie, is one of Bruce Willis's patients in the first scene of the movie.
Oh, it's, by the way, just to, for an How Did This Get Made callback, it's Luke's sister from Gilmore Girls.
Okay,
that's who's playing this part.
Jumps out of his again. Every office is like a palatial, looking out upon the city.
Yeah,
like, jumps out of a window.
Like never explained, right? Like never again.
No, I was actually wondering, like what? Well, first of all, one of the first shots is of her putting on lipstick.
Just like this,
yeah, the,
like,
please, let's start from this. Please, okay, so please, let's start with the opening
with, like,
scene.
A lipstick
this
carousel.
This is the opening scene.
A lipstick carousel is the yes. only way I can describe yes. it, and I want one desperately.
Yeah, the carousel. That was like a.
I've never seen anything like that.
It was like in the movie Overboard with the shoe thing in the boat.
Don't get me started on that closet.
But that's what the lipstick.
I've dreamed about the closet from Overboard for years. So the lipstick carousel. Is this, it's almost like I think we're supposed to be in this weird, like, jaunty, like, scary
like
carnival times. Yeah.
Yes.
So this carousel goes around. Was it made specifically for lipsticks?
I think it's
was
made
it
for cigarettes. I think
oh,
it was
it's for cigarettes. All right.
I think those things are made for cigarettes. I've seen those things before where you turn it and it's like a decorative thing in one way. You turn the top and it's got little pockets and I've seen it.
I want to believe it was made for lipstick.
But this one
I
definitely
saw.
Yeah.
Okay. So she picks out a lipstick. She stares at herself in the mirror. She seems to be getting ready for something.
I'm going to say something here and I don't mean this to be like, this is my my impression of it. Was there a little confusion if that was a woman or a man in drag or am I just being totally...
Wow, man. We're talking about Luke's sister Gilmore Girls.
I didn't
bro.
Know if it could, maybe it was her haircut. Was
I had a moment when you're loading lipstick on like that? There's a moment where you're like, okay, this is a guy going through something.
That's what I thought initially, but maybe I was told. I mean,
I think what you're responding to as well is that her look. I do think she was meant to be a woman, and I, of course she is
100%.
For sure.
Yes.
But her look was very garish. So it was like very harsh bangs.
At one point, she puts the lipstick onto her teeth.
That's correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
This is minute one and a half.
Not even. Minute 30 seconds.
Like, maybe.
I got to say, there was something frightening about that.
I did not care for that.
No.
There was something unsettling about that.
But we don't get into her, really.
We never get into her. And I just want to ask, just please.
Well, the gun gets into her.
Is there?
Oh, yeah.
But then we don't even really see that payoff.
No.
Yeah, no payoff.
Not the way I wanted.
Did I miss at some point in this movie where they had set up stakes or a reason you would care
great
about
question.
Anyone?
Great
was that, like, did I'm like, okay, I really great had my question. Eyes peeled.
No, hero. No. This movie's called Hero Head Doctors.
the bad boys
hero head doctors get hunted by crazy bitches.
And Bruce Willis, he's like, I'm a behaviorist, yeah. Which I've gone to a good amount of therapy. That's not a thing. There's a behavioral therapist or a behavior, right. But a behaviorist.
Well, I thought it might be a 90s term for what we now know as a behavioral therapist.
Okay.
That's the only way I could wrap my mind around
it. I think no one did any research.
No. Like I feel like Bruce Willis is like, I got this. I'm going to even improvise a little bit around this. There was a moment in that opening scene, too, and I've also been to therapy. Never has a therapist sat on his desk like in a catty corner position. Yeah. Like he was like in her face, like they were gonna make out. That did not seem like a appropriate
this
therapy.
Is, so now we're back to Luke's sister from Gilmore Girls. She once she puts she rubs lipstick all over her mouth, then all over her teeth, then puts like a 38 like a 38 mm-hmm. handgun in her mouth, mm-hmm. and she's gonna pull the trigger, and then it hard cuts to therapy where she's in therapy with Bruce Willis.
Yes,
that therapy session lasts for maybe 10 seconds before she straight up gets up and jumps. Out the goddamn window.
Hudsucker proxy.
Like, just straight up. And the office looks like it's Felicity's office when Felicity goes to therapy. It's like one of those arched windows.
Yes,
you know?
A beautiful arch window.
Jumps straight out the window.
Leaves
falls
a circular.
For a very long. Like, the coverage of her falling
it's
is
not
extensive.
It was triggering bad memories of years back, you know?
It's true. I actually found that whole sequence to be really upsetting.
Yeah. It was upsetting.
It did seem like a very realistic body was thrown out. It was just, it was uncomfortable.
A very long stunt. She lands in the middle of the road. Her blood, her red
what
blood.
What I liked, though, the shot that I liked was when she lands. She lands, and there's a shot from underneath.
Right.
Yes, that was a cool shot.
And she's on clear.
Spilling.
She's on a clear surface rather than a dark surface. And, you see the blood seep out of her body from underneath. I thought that was a pretty cool shot.
Interestingly shot. By Richard Rush. By the way, this movie was written by the same guy who wrote Hunger Games and Captain Phillips. So just put that in
there. Are you kidding?
Yes.
No. Wow.
Well, I purposely did. I was like, if I go into the IMDb black hole of this movie, oh, I won't come out.
I have a lot of information to share about this movie because it is fascinating.
By the way, so what do you think was going on with her?
With the first chick?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I've got zero guesses.
I couldn't even... Did they even... What were they talking about?
Well, we can't even waste that much time on this first patient.
This girl does not matter.
She does nothing in this movie. She does not come back.
Her life is pointless, except that it gets Bruce Willis to go to Los Angeles.
Yeah, yes. That the point of her.
It's a motivating factor.
It was just to be like, you lost one. You can't hold yourself accountable for losing one patient.
Right.
One suicide. Like,
well, what happens?
The treatment didn't work, as his doctor tells him.
The pivotal thing that happens in that scene is that he looks out his window.
Oh yeah.
And sees her on the sidewalk, and you know, and her brains are in bits and bobs, and he does not see the color red.
Well, no. He goes colorblind from that.
He goes colorblind.
Oh, he goes colorblind.
Yes, that's the moment.
I thought he just was.
No, because he saw the red on the green dress, but then then it blocked out red for the rest of the movie.
That's why.
Until there's a twist.
I kept hearing them talk about him being colorblind.
I know.
That's why.
And colorblind does not play like for the amount of talking about colorblind.
A lot
it doesn't.
Of lessons in yeah. That.
Oh wait, can I ask you a question then?
Yeah.
This is going to jump ahead, and I apologize. When he finds, spoilers for this movie, which is horrible, so fuck you if you're nervous about it. When he finds the artist's body and there's that gray paint dripping off of it,
blood.
That's blood, right?
That's, I said to June, I got confused. That's him being colorblind.
Okay, that is
that's
his,
why, that's also why, it actually, colorblindness does come back a few times. When he goes to the police officer's house, he sees the car that's been chasing him the whole time, but it's red.
Right.
And so he doesn't recognize it as the car that was after him.
I don't know if that was the same car because I don't think it was dented. But why? It doesn't make any sense in the plot of the movie that car would be in that guy's driveway.
When you say plot, how do you mean? Walk me through your definition of plot.
Well, in the story, there were scenes, and that I'm counting scenes as plot.
Okay, well, let's cut ahead.
Well, should we go scene by, where do you want to cut ahead to?
Well, first he goes to his therapist.
I want to cut ahead to the baseball mitt chair.
What was that group therapy?
It's not a baseball mitt chair, though. It's not a baseball mitt.
What is it?
It's a hand.
No, it's a baseball mitt.
It's a baseball mitt.
You guys, someone look it up right now. I'm telling you.
What do you mean it's a hand? It's a baseball mitt.
It looks like a hand because that's what a baseball mitt looks like.
Right, but I know what a baseball mitt chair looks like, and that's not
While
that.
While we're looking up the chair, can we just... My biggest things that were triggering me in the worst way were it was the lighting, which is not something I usually notice.
Oh, it's so dark.
It's so dark, and then you see all the reflections of the lamps in the huge windows, mm-hmm. and then the music. The circus, it was like...
The Calliope music.
Was just like, look, don't take this movie seriously for even a second because we're going to play this music.
But I also thought it was sort of like saying like, therapy is for crazy people.
Yes.
Look at all these insane people.
Yeah.
I didn't understand why these people were in group. They were the most diverse people in this group that Scott Bakula is in. Also like, hey, I'm going to bring my friend to group therapy.
My friend is here today.
I don't think group therapy involves asking someone to sit in.
No.
Right.
And I don't think...
Like to audit.
I don't think that's a thing.
And then Scott Bakula kind of fucks over Bruce Willis and goes like, and tell us why you're here.
Yeah.
And he's like, I have jet lag. I don't want to talk about it. Like, that's a real fuck you too. Like, there's a lot of weird stuff going on.
Well, first Bakula starts group therapy with his group, and his group, I don't fucking care about this movie, but his group they return to this group over and over, and the group gets in, immediately starts screaming at each other, gets into a fist fight. One of the patients leaves, and Bakula says nothing of this.
None of that.
None of this does he say anything. So he's basically like the worst therapist, I feel like. Like physical altercations are happening.
He doesn't leave the room. Nope. Actually, one of the patients, just so you guys know, these are the characters in the little thing. It's Clark, who's a severe obsessive compulsive.
That's Bibbit.
That's Brad Dourif.
Sandra, who's Leslie Ann Warren.
The sex one.
Yes. She's the nympho, like all women.
And Klepto.
Okay.
Then there's Buck. That's Lance Henriksen. He's a suicidal ex-cop. And then Casey.
Because his wife and daughter were killed?
Yes. Yeah. But it remains unsolved until later. Then there's Casey, the arrogant son of a wealthy man.
Which one was that? The one in the baseball chair?
The artist.
Yeah, the one in the baseball chair.
He was in Peggy Sue Got Married. Remember? He was the...
He
was like the misunderstood.
And
okay,
it was
sorry.
A hand chair, but go on.
And then Richie, the 16-year-old with...
gender.
Social anxiety disorder, a stutter, and a gender identity disorder.
In group therapy, you're with people with your same problem. They never are just like, let's throw these misfits together and see what happens. Like, why would they ever be in
And they also seem of varying financial status. So, like, where is he? Who's paying for this? Like, and why is he so wealthy? I also like how he watches them from, like, a clear glass window until they all get there and then he enters.
And they're also, they're all insane in their own special ways, but they're also so terrible to each other.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're so angry at each other. It's the most unsupportive environment.
It has the characteristics of a therapy scene that I feel like you see in hardcore, like, rehab therapy. When somebody has had something happened that they are in rehab or in prison, or that is the group therapy that I feel like these people are representative of those kind of traumas. Right. But really, these are just very successful people for the most part. But their problems, they're treating their problems as if they are absolutely world crises, like catastrophic events.
Well, in so many ways, this movie is real. It is really an indictment of therapy, because the only real therapy that happens in the movie, it's at the very end. I don't know if we want to go to the reveal of what happens,
I think we should. I wouldn't recommend anyone ever seeing, even like, I have to say,
unless you like puffy nips.
Oh, God.
What now?
Oh,
God. We haven't even gotten it.
If you like puffy nips, then you're going to be into this movie.
We haven't even gotten into the hardcore sex.
And I thought there was going to... And I will say something about the sex scenes, because I had heard about the sex scenes. I was excited to see them. I did not think they were that great.
What?
And I remember when
June,
this came out.
Maxim magazine said these were the best sex scenes in film history.
That's a terrible overstatement. It was just, you're like, I can't believe they're showing this, but that's it.
That's it, though.
And like, you know, to be going down on someone underwater.
Oh, yeah.
That's just not practical.
Oh, by the way, there's so much underwater fucking, and they're both heads are underwater.
That's what I'm saying. Like, how much can happen? Like, you're going to have to come up for air in 2 seconds.
Yeah. Just, it would be the most frustrating, worthless. Yeah.
And plus, you know what?
A lot of chlorine.
All of the bacteria from the pool is just getting shoved inside of you. Like, it's terribly unhygienic.
By the way, also, this is an interesting thing about this movie, because it was so sexual.
Everybody got yeast infections.
Everyone got yeast infections in the movie. Is that it was one of the top 20 most rented films when it came out on
video.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because
everybody wanted, like, sanctioned porn.
Now, I saw this movie next to my parents on a Walt Disney World vacation.
What?
My parents are also therapists.
Oh, right.
So it was amazing. And I don't remember. June was like, don't you remember anything from this movie? All I remembered was sex in the pool.
Yeah.
That was the, like.
That's the takeaway.
Yeah, that was a takeaway.
Yeah, I feel like, those sex in the pool scenes, like this one and the Showgirls one, those really stick with you if you see them at a young enough age.
I've never been more uncomfortable in my life than seeing this movie next to my parents and at Walt Disney World. It was so, so upsetting.
I feel so upset by that's like the least upsetting part of the movie, I feel like. Like, I feel so disturbed by having seen this movie at a time when I really wasn't in a safe space to be watching it.
Yeah.
Well,
what did it make you feel?
It triggered a lot in me, but I mean, rage, because I was like, was there anyone on set that was like, we need to stop this? Like, weren't they filming it thinking like, somebody stop this?
Like, I think that's the thing though.
They thought they were nailing it.
And they were like, this is so good. It's so complex. It's about sex. It's about therapy.
Very Hitchcockian movie.
Yeah.
You know, it has that kind of mistaken identity vertigo part. It's got like all of this kind of...
Hence the taglines. Can I read you the taglines?
Yeah.
5 suspects, 2 lovers, 1 killer. Nothing is what it seems except murder.
Because here's my main problem with the movie is that it does have that Hitchcockian plot, which I'm on board for 100%. Sure. But he sets out, Bruce Willis's character sets out to not find the killer of his best friend.
He actively turns that opportunity down.
He doesn't tell the cops, oh, by the way, just last night, he happened to say that one of his patients was going to kill him.
He mentions nothing about it. Scott Bakula is killed very early on.
Oh, yeah. Bakula gets fucking
iced.
Our
way into this mystery is through Richie's brother telling us that he wants to yep. get his brother out of therapy, and then that's what we're following?
But
it's very strange.
Can we talk about, I don't want to forget about the scene when they are going on a long bike ride, when Scott Bakula's alive.
Oh, let's do it.
This is amazing, yeah.
So Bruce and Scott are on a bike ride where they're like, they really spell it out for you, like, we're both alpha, and yep. we, yeah. at one point, I think
Scott
said
the night before, do you want to go get some drinks and get laid?
Yeah.
Like, these are two therapists.
No, yeah. no men.
Because
talk
that's what therapists are like. Picture now if you are in therapy, your therapist with another man that looks like him being like in like a top down, like sports car.
What do you
like,
want to do?
You want to go get laid, bro?
Oh, you want to get a drink? Want to get laid?
Are there any men that talk that way to each other? And then on the bike ride, he's like, do you want to just get our dicks out and see whose is bigger?
Yeah.
Just. No, and then at the end of the bike ride, they like have this big brother moment. They have like they put their arms around yeah. each other.
Yeah, there's something also very homoerotic.
There's a ton
about
of homoerotic yes. stuff. The cop in him, he yes. keeps intimating that the cop is a gay.
I could
and, and that is upsetting to the cop because it's challenging him and it's
right. He's like, are you married?
Yeah,
like because
exactly.
if you're not, you're obviously you're, yeah, taking exactly. tons of dick.
Ruben Blades in this movie is the cop Martinez. I could go on about oh, his yeah. performance.
Was he supposed to be the comic relief?
I mean,
no, that's a great question.
I thought he
or
was,
the heavy, because he's also at times like very forceful with Bruce Willis,
yeah.
and very kind of the bad guy, not the bad guy, like the threatening bad guy, but like just like an element of pressure.
But my also, question yeah. is, why were they always meeting outside clubs?
Well, no, yeah. no, yeah, he like
oh,
at
oh
the
God.
Whiskey.
His like patting the guy down outside the whiskey
while they're talking, a walk yeah. and talking frisk,
walk and frisk, like the worst attempt at looking oh. like police work.
See,
possible.
I felt like that was like I felt like Sorkin saw that and was like, they beat me.
Yes.
They win.
I'm following this path.
But just set it up. So his friend dies and the cop he's sort of assisting the investigation, I guess. And Bruce Willis is. Wait, and he goes to
Bruce Willis's name is Coppa.
Yes.
Which Coppa. Sounds so
right.
much like copper. And he's acting like a cop in so much of the movie.
I think
that I had a real
problem.
I'm like,
a
he's
cop
a cop.
In this movie.
Yeah, I had a real problem.
He wears a leather jacket for most.
Yeah,
of the movie.
I had a real problem with people calling him and be like, "Hey, copper. Okay, yeah. listen to me." Yeah, I was like, "This is not. Why can I give him another name?"
Well, Ruben Blades' performance. I mean, also you're picking up that scene outside of the whiskey. So they were inside there, either watching a band, having a like. What was
drinks.
The end of a scene? It was like
it makes the whiskey seem like it's a local bar that people just drop. In on
yeah.
like, hey, let's meet for a drink and talk about the case. How about the whiskey? Great, that's easy. Like, it's like it's an impossible like music venue that you would not just it's not a neighborhood watering hole.
Of course not.
Yeah, it'd be like, hey, let's get a drink. Okay, meet me at what, Radio City Music Hall? Cool, I'll meet
you
there. We'll get a drink at Radio City Music Hall.
I really think that he was supposed to be the comic relief. Even like the last line of the movie, it's like him. It's supposed to be he's
like cracking
being funny,
jokes. Yeah.
calling
just,
everybody daffodils.
Like, what did yeah. I do? Yeah, daffodils. Like they were like, oh my God, and we'll call back daffodils.
Oh,
killer.
Daffodils. Hey everybody, sorry to interrupt the broadcast, but guess what? We got to thank our sponsors, and one of our sponsors is you. That's right, Derek Eden. Gave us $100. Thank you, Derek. And because you gave us $100, we are going to give you a autographed thing that's super cool and unique. Everybody that's recording this episode is signing it for you. Thank you, Derek. It's fans like you that make this show possible. We are honored and flattered that you think of us this way. Thank you so much. I want to play a clip of Ruben Blades just to get an idea of what he sounds like in the movie. Here we go.
You stick your dick in a barrel of barracudas once, maybe you won't lose it. You leave it in there, it's gonna get chewed off at the root.
Okay, appreciate your concern for my dick, Hector. Thank you.
I'm being really nice out of concern for your safety, in case it's one of them, huh? Shut it down, okay?
No, can't do that.
Shut it down, Chingada! Don't be an asshole! Find another fucking set of wombats to exploit!
That is the level of performance. And by the way, when he first meets him, he's on that second level of just screaming
yeah.
at him.
Yeah.
His best friend was murdered. Now, here's the other thing that drives me crazy. Scott Bakula lives in a fucking compound, like gates, cameras, everything. And they're like, where were you that night? Clearly, there's a security system that could...
Let's go to
yeah.
the tape.
Oh, yeah.
yeah. Show you Bruce Willis is probably at the house looking at that mirror glass thing that he
I also off. Felt like... Bakula has been murdered.
Murdered.
Bruce Willis
stabbed 30 times lackadaisically.
Yes.
Like
right.
that was the weirdest stabbing. Like stab, Wait, wait, wait. Stab. Yeah. Wait, wait, wait.
Ooh, I'm going to get you again. Stab.
Like he was falling asleep.
Yeah. But and he's murdered, and Bruce Willis is allowed to continue to now. Now Bruce Willis just adopts his life.
Stays in his house.
Drives his car.
The creepiest thing of all.
Takes over the group. This is where it gets very weirdly Hitchcock in a way that I was like, this could be interesting. It is not. It is not interesting at all. It is not about identity. It's terribly uninteresting. And it never would be allowed. Allowed to happen.
Well, wouldn't
that
like
a murder victim's
of,
house would yeah. be just continued to like? Oh yeah,
there'd
of course.
There'd be a lot of affairs to set.
Like, I don't think Cato Kaelin got to continue to yeah. crash. You know what I mean? Like,
if I still crash here,
we're cool, right?
And Ruben Blades comes over a couple days later to check for evidence. It's a very lackadaisical thing. They actually, the Scott Bakula is murdered in his office. Glass is broken, and they go, "Hey, we fixed up that office, so you should go just back to that group group therapy session. Let them know that he's killed. And we'll see.
Let's not waste this office space."
Yeah. We should get it. Go ahead.
No, just the cop is like, you know, don't. He's like, you know, come on, Chinga or whatever the slur was, but like, don't see these people. And then he's like, I'm gonna see them, and he's like, okay. And then the next time you see him, he's like, what have they been saying? Like, did they tell you anything? Like, he just drops his whole mission immediately.
Oh yeah.
But also,
and it's revealed that he has the office bug.
Oh yeah. But also Bruce Willis delivers one of my favorite lines of all time. He's a therapist going in there. He's like, "Hey everybody, prepare yourself for bad news." Like, and then tells them that Scott Bakula has been killed.
And prepare they're like, yourself.
So okay, so we got it. We at a certain point we're gonna have to get into the kind of significant reality in this movie, which is Bruce Willis meets a woman named Rose.
She's on her way to an audition in the Valley.
Yeah, she hits him with her car. Okay, so how do we want to unfold this?
Well, the first question I have is when Scott Bakula says he's been dating a young woman.
Yeah, you'll meet her.
Was that Rose?
Yes, of course.
Okay, just
everybody.
Everybody.
Rose is everybody. Rose
is all the Bonnies. Rose is everybody's Bonnie.
This is what I have a problem with. Why is Rose sometimes Rose and why is Rose sometimes Bonnie?
Because she got multiple personalities.
Yeah, multiple personalities.
But
from
I
when
would
the
prefer Ricky, it, personally, oh, if Rose was Rose with one person,
yes.
Bonnie with another, and then a completely
Catherine
other one.
Catherine somebody else. Yeah.
Yes.
So Rose, you're saying that Rose is also like a two-timer. Because like Rose...
Yeah, Rose was not monogamous. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. The brother, Danny? What was the brother's name?
I don't know.
I think he was in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
He basically says...
Dale
basically says like...
Andrew Lowry.
Dale basically says like that he was getting jealous. Because Rose is her given name.
That's her real name.
Okay?
He wasn't Buffy, by the way.
Yeah. A Dale and a Rose and a Ricky. Those are the three siblings.
I thought it was Richie.
Richie.
I apologize. You're right, Richie. Richie dies.
Because he kills himself?
Because Dale killed him, right?
Well,
with
that's
the belt.
That's revealed at the end, right?
Yeah, apologies. Revealed that at the end.
Dale didn't kill him. I thought he killed himself.
Oh, Richie did kill himself
Richie
because of Niedermeyer, right?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Mrs. Niedermeyer?
So many times they said a name in this movie, and I was just like, what? Like, you haven't introduced
Willis,
that character
the number
yet.
Of times Bruce Willis said Mrs. Niedermeyer. It was so crazy.
Yeah.
He said Mrs. Niedermeyer.
A million times.
He then
breaks into Mrs. Niedermeyer's house and confronts Mrs. Niedermeyer.
Oh, wait, Mrs. Yeah. Niedermeyer. She was the best, because, I mean, she was the craziest
was
of all.
Oh, yes.
She's like, what are you doing here? And then she's kind of like, I remember that. Get out of here. I'm caught. It's like, wait. Are you confiding in him or are you calling the police on this
guy? Yeah. Or do you like want it?
Just.
Well, but she also has no reason.
Lying on the couch like, oh no, you'll not get anything out of me.
She has no reason to be as aggressive with Bruce Willis as she is in the first meeting
at all. No.
Bruce Willis is like.
That's the weird thing. She seems to be both very ready to sell out her husband and his horrible practices, but then
he was a child molester.
He was a child molester.
They allude that everyone raped everyone at some point.
Everybody is molested.
Which, by the way, goes into...
why is she so unwilling, sorry, Paul,
no
to confide in him?
Don't know.
Okay.
Well, yeah, she seems like she would want to be throwing her husband under the bus. It really is just to put off the connection of the movie. It just seems like it's a device that is just left there as like, well, we have to find this out in the last act because that's important.
Will you tell me when we're allowed to address the snake in the mailbox? Like, I don't want to...
The
feel
snake
like
in the mailbox is amazing. I was actually going to talk about that snake in the mailbox. Yeah. Bruce Willis is dating or goes on a date with this... A rose
they character. Keep saying fender bender like fender it's the bender. Funniest punchline in the history of cinema.
They have a pretty intense kiss at a valet stand where he gets a full on erection and she says he can get arrested in that condition. She goes off in
which
a cab.
Which is not true.
No.
But yeah, that just wasn't true.
You're
so
allowed
to
have an erection.
Okay, because I'm glad to hear that. I get a lot of boners in public.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just because of rubbing up against people and stuff. That freaked me out a little, so I'm glad to hear it's not.
You're fine.
Cool.
Carry on, my wayward son.
By the way, thank you so much.
So things are going pretty good for Bruce. He's living the life of Scott Bakula. Yeah. He's out for a run, goes to check the mail, and you could take it away.
Well, wait, sure. I just want to say, shirtless Bruce, do you think, because he had his shirt kind of tucked into his pants, and I was like, was he like, you know what, I feel like... To the director, was he like, I feel like my character would have a shirt off here.
Yep.
Or was it like it was in the script? I just want these answers.
I felt like that shirt off moment was definitely asking for it. And also made you like, I'm grossed out by like early 90s stuff. Like there was a lot of tucking in of everything on a lot of blouses.
A lot of like very high waisted jeans. Yeah.
Wrapped around the waist, like jacket.
It also shows you, and this is not me saying I'm in better shape, I'm just saying that it also shows you the difference between now and then, which is like, Bruce Willis is not like jacked.
He's got a little bit of saddlebags, which I appreciate, but now that would be unacceptable.
Like, you would never see a guy like that with his shirt off, and like the lead man in a movie right now. Like, they would be on like a protein diet.
Sounds like you're saying you have a better body than Bruce Willis.
I think I do.
Okay, so I now put a bathing suit of yourself, a bathing suit shot of you up next to the shorts of from this movie.
Speaking of which,
standards, though,
by movies, and but here, speaking of which, this is the best part about it. When Scott Bakula and Bruce Willis did that bike ride, apparently there's like an internet meme of Scott Bakula's dick because his dick is so outlined in his bike shorts that has gone all over the internet of Scott Bakula's dick.
I feel weird
dick.
That we're not looking at it right now.
I have it here. I can show you a picture of Scott Bakula's dick.
I would appreciate that. Oh, here it comes.
here it is. Yeah.
Bakula's dick.
Yeah, you can kind of see.
I can't really see it.
I have a better shot of it. We're going to put it on the website. You can see it. I'll show you. It's just an outline.
Bruce's dick being outlined in this too.
Oh, well, you see like the tip of it underwater when he takes his bathing suit off. You see some Bruce Willis dick.
And you see her, you kind of see her asshole. Like a little bit.
Yeah. I don't see her asshole.
Well, you see her full
you
vagina.
See
her,
you see lips.
Yeah, what? That's my... Hello?
I love that everybody looked at me like, what?
You see, I don't think you see lips, Jason.
You see labia majora and minora.
No, you don't.
What?
You see,
I saw her clitoral hood.
I saw her clitoral hood.
No, you didn't. I didn't see her clit.
I don't
clit.
Know what you saw.
I didn't see her clit. I saw her hood.
I saw
the clitoral hood.
No, you didn't.
Yes, and I saw her G-spot.
She was ovulating. You could see that.
Oh, my God. I could totally see.
Do you think that Bruce Willis up with this Jane March character? Because I feel like
100%. You mean the actress?
Not the actress.
She's not the character.
Oh, well, yeah,
she's
sorry.
The actual actress.
Sorry, the actress. I think he had to have.
Yes.
Because these sex scenes are so graphic.
Well, this was interestingly also Jane March's thing. She did a movie called The Lover, which was another one of these
17.
Insanely erotic. Like they would come out. The movies, I mean, maybe like. I feel like there aren't movies like this anymore. You know, like the more sexually explicit movies now are like Shame, where there is something very dark going on, versus like back.
I didn't see it, but what about
Henry
Blue is the Warmest Color?
That's a good example, probably. But like Henry and June, all these NC-17, like really sexually explicit American movies were coming out and would play in like movie theaters, and you would go and be like, whoa.
The most famous
what?
Is like Basic Instinct, even with like with the crossing of the legs and that sort of stuff.
I don't think they were wearing protective underwear. I don't think they were wearing like the.
Modesty.
I think they fucked on camera.
Yeah,
I do.
This is one some Donald Sutherland, Jane
was
Fonda
in the picture
shit.
During this time.
I don't know.
Well, one of the most uncomfortable movies. There's a movie called The Getaway with Kim Basinger and Alec Baldwin.
Oh yeah.
And there's an unrated cut of that, and that's when they were together. And their sex scene in that is. it's borderline pornographic.
Full
because
penetration
yeah, they
on
definitely,
each of them.
They definitely.
They were
they
both.
Definitely had sex.
She is inside him.
By the way, isn't this? Jane March said that she was not comfortable with the nudity in the movie, but then when she saw it and the great time she had on set, she let them keep it
oh
all in.
Oh, great!
Like, but. You can't
anyone,
sign up for a movie
way,
like this
yeah,
and
she
go
can't
like.
Say I let them keep it in. Like she had no.
When she saw this script, when she got to the last scene, she was like, "This is it. Like this is. I'm obviously
this is
getting
Oscar,
an Oscar."
Yes. Well, we should reveal like what the
okay,
trick
go
is.
Okay, go ahead.
So in the group, obviously Richie is this confused person who looks
this confused boy,
with a Walkman on who looks a little bit like Rose. Would you argue? Like looks. Like,
well, no, he looks exactly like Rose in a wig. In a boy
one
wig.
One thing she did very well though is when she's Richie.
We want to do that voice?
I don't want to do the voice, but she has beautiful big lips.
Yeah.
When she plays Richie, her lips get very thin.
Yeah.
So that's the one misdirect where I was like, a couple times in the beginning, I'm like, I don't know if it's Rose. Because of the lips.
Interesting.
The teeth were a giveaway.
We know those teeth.
But I think she sort of like rolled her lips in, not her vaginal lips.
No, we're not talking about her upstairs. We're talking about upstairs lips, not downstairs
top lips.
Also, the way that
it's a very upstairs, downstairs kind of story.
Richie talks like the character in Silence of the Lambs, like, it puts the lotion.
Buffalo Bill.
Yeah, like, because she's like,
here's the question. Here's the question I have about Rose. Is Rose an actress? And is that why she's able to embody all these characters?
Oh, wow.
Unclear. I don't know.
No, Rose is not an actress.
And
she's living like a harrowing existence as her brother's slave.
Yeah, I think her brother was like, here's your thing today.
Yeah.
I don't think that she even... Yeah, like, is she identifying as Rose when she's Rose? Or she
well, the
knows
brother says...
Being...
The brother says that he made her be Richie, and then Bonnie showed up, and he got really jealous that Bonnie was going out and having all this fun, and he was trying to stop Bonnie.
I'll just throw it on the line and go, I don't really understand what even the end reveal is. I mean, you think, all right, who's killing the person? You find out it's Richie's brother. And this is like kind of like Sleepaway Camp-esque in the fact that there's gender stuff. But why was Richie killing these people to
so
begin
Richie
with?
Is, I'm sorry.
Richie was never killed.
Or why was Dale?
Richie is revealed to be Rose slash Bonnie slash, so she is all three of these characters. She's been sleeping with, and you realize she was sleeping with Bakula. There's a great scene in group. There's a great scene in group where everybody in group describes this wonderful woman who's come into their life.
And they all describe her exactly the same way.
And they describe her with such specificity that anybody would pick up. She's about 5'3", auburn hair.
Gorgeous.
Like she makes me feel so alive. Everybody is having this, and nobody puts it together.
The scene when they pass her picture around, like, wait a minute, this is my girlfriend. This is my Bonnie. Wasn't that, at least that day on set, wasn't somebody just like, guys, let's just walk out. This is stupid.
Let's just light the sets on fire and walk
Leslie
away.
I heard Leslie Ann Warren was doing it, and I said yes, and I just think she's in a weird place.
Well, now here's my question: Why was Dale killing these people?
I couldn't figure out what the plan was.
Because Dale wanted to get Richie out of therapy.
I think, was so angry about the field of psychology and
just in general.
Oh, in general,
it's very Game of Thrones. The dynamic of like Khaleesi and her brother.
Like he just was taking revenge out on both the patients and.
But he didn't want. But he didn't want.
I don't know. That's
there,
all
there's
I have.
No real explanation about why, because the idea is that Dale's like my brother needs to get out of therapy. He's been in therapy. He's better. But Richie doesn't exist because Richie's dead because Richie was molested by Mr. Needlemeyer.
As was Dale. And Dale and Richie are also sleeping together.
Why aren't they killing Mrs. Needle?
What?
Dale and Richie. Dale and his sister Rose.
Oh, wait, that's true.
Dale reveals that at the end, right?
But even it.
Oh, I didn't.
But then
in
therapy.
Oh, no, she reveals that. She says he made me do things. He made me do things.
As Richie, she says. She says, sometimes I wish my brother wasn't. So didn't love me so much.
Yeah, she says something about he makes me feel like
was
my
he sleeping
ashamed
with
of my body
her
or something.
As Richie or as Rose?
I think as Richie.
Ooh. I know. At least fuck her when she's Rose or Bonnie. Bonnie is so
bad. Okay, so in my mind that's where Bonnie came from. Well, they sort of say that, right?
Yeah.
Because she's so fuck.
That's when she started dissociating because her brother was
God, this is one fucked up family. So
the Needlemeyers were way fucked up.
How did Richie end up at the Needlemeyers?
Just like a capturing the Freemans type, just like, here, you'll be going to this person for therapy.
And that was that. And so, Dale, we're supposed to believe that just because this kid died, and that's a horrible thing, of course, but his older brother, who was, I guess, mentally okay before then, just became a complete...
I don't know if he was mentally okay, because he was also molested.
By Needlemeyer?
Yes.
But the thing they set it up so you're never looking for answers, because you don't care.
Yeah.
That's
like,
true.
It's like, okay, Scott Bakula is dead. Yeah. And that's the first thing that you're supposed to kind of care about, because you don't get any
answers.
Except you don't. And then you never care, and you keep watching.
By the way, all of this, what they were describing, intense scenes about child molestation are bracketed by, like, scenes in which Bruce Willis comes on this girl's tits. Like, are bracketed with such... Like such forthright sexual imagery that is meant to be erotic, that like they treat sexuality in this movie at one or the other extreme of the spectrum.
And
it is either trauma, or it is like deeply erotic, like amazing, like covetous sex.
It would also,
sex,
it would also seem that he should take some responsibility or feel the weight of the world on his shoulders when he realizes that he's been fucking this girl.
Yeah, he's very unfazed.
He's not worried about it.
So many mental issues.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, even at the end, he's like, I'm going to be with her. Like,
right, and now we're together.
Now we're going to fuck all the time.
In the middle of it, the way they were all talking, the way the group is all talking about, like, well, because this is my Bonnie, I felt like they were talking about the ring from Lord of the Rings. They were all like, my precious.
They're all Smeagol.
My precious. You know, they're really all, weird. They're all, yeah, exactly, golems.
The end is just crazy, because... she is seriously messed up.
Yeah.
She is.
Oh God, yeah.
She needs.
If he had any like ethical backbone, he would say, "You're going to be treated immediately.
Yeah,
we will no longer have a.
You will be institutionalized
there is no
for
amount
the
of
rest
treatment.
Of your life.
Yes,
there's no amount of treatment that could.
Our sexual relationship is over, and I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yes, because it was part of a catastrophic series of events in your life.
But no, they treat it like it's like the Titanic. If there had been room for both of them to hang on that door or whatever. Like, and now we made it.
Right,
we're fine.
Right. We're out.
We're all good.
And by the way, that's how he gets his color back there. He saves her from suicide, and then he's finally able to see red again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the real whole color.
Now the movie's great.
The color of night. The color of night.
We've got Warby Parker sponsoring today's episode of How Did This Get Made? Warby was founded with a rebellious spirit and a lofty objective. Here it is. Want to hear what it is? To create boutique quality, classically crafted eyewear at a revolutionary price point. And guess what? They did it. Warby Parker is the shit. If you want to get glasses, don't go out to some bullshit place where they have them on a rack. You go to Warby Parker, try them on in your house. They'll send you a pack of them. Try them on in your mirror, wear them around, pretend like you're a smart person. And it's great, okay? Because glasses shouldn't cost as much as an iPhone, okay? Warby Parker's prescription glasses start at $95. Their titanium collection starts at $145. And that includes a prescription lens. Their try-on-home program is amazing. You order 5 pair of glasses. They're shipped directly to you. Right? Like I said, try them on, do whatever you want, and then send back the ones you don't want. Prepaid return shipping label. There's no obligation to buy any of them. Just try it out. See what it's like to have 4 eyes for once in your life. You need Warby Parker. They need you. We need you to go to Warby Parker because they support this show. And by ordering glasses online, we're going to actually give you a little help. All right? So if you go to warbyparker.com/how, you'll receive a free expedited 3-day air shipping. That means they come in 3 days. Check it out. That's warbyparker.com/how. Thanks, Warby. All right. We got a brand new sponsor on the show, NatureBox. Holy crap. Now, I like a healthy snack. I like a healthy snack that actually tastes delicious, and NatureBox does it. They are sponsoring today's episode, and they're a brilliant company with a revolutionary and delicious idea. I sound like I'm on Shark Tank. No, they are snacks that come to your house once a month. It's a snack delivery service, okay? They have no high fructose corn syrup, no hydrogenated oils, no artificial colors or flavors. This is NatureBox, y'all. Okay, each snack faces strict quality standards that are approved and by painfully strict nutritionists who know how to have some fun. This is great. Like, You get a snack box at your house. You're an adult. It's like going to school and getting like a cool snack, but you get them at your house and you can munch on them all month. You can get things like the chia seed crackers, the salted caramel pretzel pops, or you get a rotating surprise box every month. They have a huge collection of tasty treats from peanut butter nom noms, to pistachio power clusters. I'm eating this one thing that has like chili powder on it, and it's great. Snack better, snack smarter, snack plentifully. Go to naturebox.com/how, get 50% off. That's 50 what? Wait, they're so good, and they're giving you 50% off your first box. Go to naturebox.com. Do it, people. Snack healthy, snack right.
I love that the police, artist is killed,
yes.
The artist is killed, blah, 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 and the police come, and Bruce Willis is talking. Bruce Willis is always acting like a cop. He's just a therapist.
He's a cop. Yes.
He's always acting like a cop. He's always
like
acting
on a
like
mission,
Jack
like knocking on doors, going around L.A.
So he's talking to the cops.
You're a psychologist.
Yeah, he's talking to the cops, and the guy goes, they're like, well, whatever, this happened and that happened, and this guy didn't see it coming or whatever. And the guy's, he's like, well, what do you think? The Reuben Blade says to his lieutenant or whatever, the lieutenant goes, well, whoever it was a maniac. Whoever it was, like, that's his assertion.
That's
you know what? I looked around. I got the evidence. I checked it out. Whoever it was, I can honestly say was a maniac. And that's what I'm bringing to the table. I am employed by the police department of this city.
Well, he has Reuben Blades is my favorite line, too.
We're looking for a maniac.
Okay, but was he a maniac? That's well, there's him.
He seems like he's not really full-on maniac.
He seems like more of a madman.
Can I ask a question just about, like, you know, just from the woman's point of view, this movie, how the women are portrayed in this movie.
Oh, let's look at it from the ladies' point of view.
The scene where we're introduced to Bonnie, which we find Leslie Ann Warren's character is having sex with, they walk in Leslie Ann Warren's bedroom, just loaded up with shopping bags, just giggling.
Like rom-com level shopping bags.
Yeah, just absolutely.
Montage level shopping bags.
We missed an amazing montage.
It was like every scene in Clueless, every shopping sequence in Clueless, they throw the bags on the bed and start trying things on and just giggling. And it's like, is this what they think women do? Like, we had a day off. Shopaholics, try it on. They're trying things on. And just giggling, and then they just
They don't just
like,
try things on. Like, she immediately puts on Bonnie slash Rose slash Richie, immediately puts on all different clothes and leaves the house in them.
Right. And, yes, you're right.
She changes.
They're not her clothes.
They're not her clothes.
She changes all of her... She changes into a new dress, puts a belt on, and then leaves.
And very boldly walks right by Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Well, she has some glasses on. Like, the wig she's wearing, if you're Leslie Ann Warren, aren't you like... Hey, like, I'm a girl too. Like, I know that's not hair. Well, why not just?
And if they're gonna have,
today.
And if they're gonna have sex, they're definitely gonna find out that that's a wig, like,
right?
Because she's even.
I was surprised.
Bonnie's like leading her into sex.
Yeah.
Yes, I thought. I was surprised they didn't. We didn't see that after all.
It may. Yeah.
She's mad that Bruce Willis.
Well, here's the thing too. I was started to wonder, were those shopping bags because she set up as a kleptomaniac? Did they steal all that stuff?
Well, they don't get bags when you steal stuff.
Oh, that's true.
She also seems really
You know
rich.
What? Could I just get a bag from you?
What? But here's...
Walk around here with a bag.
Can I just have a status bag?
And then to kind of push this idea too, not only does she... they go shopping and they do all that sort of stuff, but then the minute Bruce Willis leaves her, she's like, oh, you're my trainer. And then she jumps in the trainer's arms and that's that.
I don't want to... I'm tired. I don't want to work out today. Let's do something else.
What was
she
device?
The trainer.
Why did it happen such that Bruce Willis, for all of... like the end of Act Two, needed to go door to door to all the patients' homes
because of Richie. Because he was
trying
to get
find
to the
Richie?
Bottom of.
He just wanted to know stuff about Richie.
He wanted
was that
to
it?
Know stuff about Richie.
Okay.
And so when he came to Leslie Ann Warren's townhouse, that was next to a children's park.
Sure.
He was asking her questions about like Richie and Monday Night Group.
This was a
which
lot.
Which also
like,
made me think like, is there group every night?
They were like, we'll see you tomorrow. They said like, see you guys tomorrow.
What are they getting done in that group? Because they
how
all
much are
seem
they
very yeah. I mean that's well a lot because well, Scott Bakula has an amazing house.
The house, the office, and really it did beg the question: like, is there a ceiling for how much a therapist can make? Like, I don't know any therapists
here's the
that
thing.
Are just killing it like
that. Yeah, I've been to therapist's office in Beverly Hills. They are not
you
an
don't
office.
Have to brag, man.
Come on, guys. Wow. I've been there.
My mental problems require a very Tony
zip
code.
By the way, I will say this. I'm pretty sure that New York therapists make a lot more money than LA therapists because there's fewer New York therapists and a huge demand for therapy in New York.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of therapists in LA and they just don't make the same amount. Like the rates are lower out here than they are in New York.
Like if you're making the most you can possibly make as a therapist, you're still like $400,000?
I mean, he was living in a multi-million dollar house.
Well, he also wrote
published a book.
He also wrote a book that was a hit.
Way to go.
What kind of a book deal?
Way to go.
Like what?
That's in the 90s. I guess people were still buying it. He was big in the 90s. He had a personalized license plate that had the name of his book. Way to go.
They didn't handcuff themselves to any reality at any point.
Nope. Not going to be tied down by that.
Zero responsibility.
I just want to make sure. So Dale's plan.
This is the thing I can't
plan, which is what the whole movie hinges upon, is...
Oh, and Dale was also...
Well, this is the upsetting
Dale was
thing.
Also
this
fucking is, the artist.
Yes.
Dale
which
was
weird because it wasn't one of her personalities.
Yeah,
it was Dale
was fucking... the guy, because when he put
the guy fell in love with the girl.
No, but when he put the the belt around his neck, he's like, "Hey, do we have like enough time to do this?" So he was like doing it with the brother as well. He wasn't in love with the brother, but he was doing
just casting wise. Dale working at that like. Steel like
mill.
Artists, but it was like sculpture.
Yeah, but making like Egyptian sculptures, like he was making like temples.
Okay,
like,
but this
in
is
there.
What I thought at one point. The sculpture that was at the house and on the bed, it was part of the bed frame. It was like a face.
Oh yeah,
it's
yeah.
very similar to some of the pieces that were in Dale's.
Niedermeyer's house had that
and
face
in the
too,
office,
right?
In their offices.
In the office.
That his work was everywhere. I just thinking about this.
I still don't understand Dale's plan.
It was weird. Dale's plan. Okay. It was also weird though that Scott Bakula's headboard had that face and it had a ring in the middle of it for attaching like handcuffs to it. And Ruben Blades is like, everybody's having fun but me.
See, he was the comic relief.
He was. I mean, agree with you. Yeah.
I think, but he was pushing. I mean, because even he, like, doesn't he have that line where it's like, Bruce, they're like, what'd you learn in group? And he's like, I can't betray that confidentiality. Yeah. My best friend just got murdered. I was only there for one night. I can't betray it. And he's like, if my friend was killed and the only thing that was standing between him is my Miranda rights, I fuck Miranda up the ass. Yeah. I was like, whoa, this is
very intense.
So aggressive.
But Dale's plan, for no good reason, because I don't think... Like, I don't know what the beginning of the plan is. Like, I don't know why it's put into motion. But I'm assuming that Richie has been put into court-mandated therapy, correct?
Yes.
And Dale wants to get him out of it.
Why?
Who knows?
Because he doesn't want to reveal.
So find out.
He's scared that...
Maybe
yeah.
that he's losing control of...
And he's losing control of Richie.
And
he
Rose is maybe like going off and doing all these things. And he's like, they're going to find out, so I need to kill you before...
He says that actually.
So then he is like, he sets out to kill everybody that Bonnie is fucking. Because Bonnie is Rose reaching out and making connections that aren't with Dale. Because Dale's in love with Richie.
Well, Dale needs to protect himself.
Who is actually played by Rose.
Again, I will say
that this Richie is dead because he never met Richie.
This is a grown-up sleepaway camp. It really is a sleepaway camp
is what made me think that Dale killed Richie was because Richie hung himself with a belt. Dale tries to kill the artist with the belt. And Dale tries to kill Bruce Willis with the belt.
Oh. Is he right, in a cage when he's trying to kill him with a...
Oh, yeah, like, he puts him in a cage.
He's in a cage.
Some
oh,
weird
okay.
kind of this cage
also,
scenario.
This is also in the era where...
Not a Nick Cage.
No, definitely not.
Where nail guns were definitely new. Because this is in Lethal Weapon, it plays a big part. But then in here, like, just like, nail guns are used like real guns.
Disturbing, like, religious, weird...
Oh, yeah, they get crucified.
Crucified. Just the stigmata in her hands.
And also when she tries to commit suicide... with the nail gun, that was very upsetting.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when she puts the nail gun under her chin, I was like, this is crazy. This movie began with a woman putting a gun in her mouth.
And flating it, kind of.
Yeah.
No.
And again, this movie's primary selling point was sex.
Right.
The movie was predicated on its graphic, erotic sexuality. You know what I mean? Like, that was its selling point.
Makes me think, like, I guess that was a little bit of an afterthought. Like, maybe
they
have
the
script.
Maybe we should put some fucking in.
Yeah, because it's not...
Because otherwise it is terrifying.
Sex scenes have nothing to do.
Yeah.
And by the way,
with the rest of the movie.
I think that you and I know for sure, but I don't know what you get. There's two cuts.
Super turned on?
There's like the real erotic NC-17 cut that shows some of Bruce Willis's penis and stuff like that.
Which did we see?
We just saw the regular one.
Oh, I think I saw regular ones.
Yeah. I didn't know where the director's like. So Bruce Willis,
I did not see his penis.
Okay, yeah. You see it for a little
bit. I would
have
showed up early.
I also didn't see like a vagina, like a full vagina.
I saw full lips.
I'm talking about from behind in the pool.
You didn't, Jason.
What?
No, you didn't.
From behind like, in the pool.
There's that speculum shot.
Oh, my God.
Can I ask, ladies, if I said, like, do you think this is romantic if a man would say this to you? In the what I wait for department, you're it.
Oh, my God.
That was a line that Bruce Willis gave.
That.
In the what I wait for department, you're it. And that was like a real.
I cannot imagine a bigger red flag. Like, if I had to walk down into a guy's basement after meeting his mom to see his bedroom. Nowhere near.
This movie. And the I want to just play for a second the song that plays at the end and the over the end credits, which is so incongruous to what we've just seen. Again, it's like a Hitchcocky, or they're trying. It's,
yes.
You know, trying to be this. So let's hear a little bit of theme song. Get the lyrics coming in. It's like,
you. Oh, right. And
moving in the dark. I mean, this is a romance song.
Because they're going to be together from then on. But there's just been the hilarious daffodils callback.
And I gotta say.
Yeah, by the way, like Ruben Blades, like they clearly ADR'd that at the end. Like Ruben Blades, like, hey, I'm still down here, everybody, I'm not dead. Happy ending.
Because everybody really grew, like I grew on everybody. Nobody ever gave a shit.
The thing is also, you never felt
they're gonna do a spinoff movie about my character.
I never felt like Bruce Willis and Jane March were connected. Like on an emotional level.
No, she's
level.
So
like,
fucking crazy.
Because she's crazy, like all women. What?
Hey, I think they were like, hey, that was a case of like, we're both really hot. Like, we should fuck each other.
Right.
And it was like, yeah, but no, there was never any meaningful eye contact.
It's also like Bruce Willis and Scott Bakula, mental health professionals,
yes,
are played as easily as their patients by a beautiful woman. Like,
right.
She, it's one thing that she infiltrates the trust and the vanities or whatever that she gets in with all of the individuals and makes, she's whoever each of them wants her to be, basically, Bonnie, you know,
right.
Is whoever, whatever each of them needs, she supplies for them. And it's the same with Bakula and the same with Willis, and they are incapable of noticing anything other than like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Hello, dress.
Young puffin. Nips once a piece.
Look at these nips.
I love. She shows up in a red dress, and he's like, "Ooh, a beautiful girl in a short dress of indeterminate color."
Yeah. Indeterminate color. Now I can't believe I missed the whole reason for the whole movie.
Oh. I will also say that this movie, she's naked so much that I felt uncomfortable when she was wearing clothes because I felt
it seemed inappropriate.
It seemed inappropriate because she dropped those clothes. Like
it's
so aggressively,
when she was in clothes, seemed more obscene.
Yeah,
in a weird
way. Yeah.
Be that as it may, that's our opinion. But there are other people out there who had a different opinion. It is now time for second opinions.
Second opinions from top to bottom. Crazy movies are fun.
They're not your first, but they're gonna be a second.
From the depths of Amazon they come. Second opinions for everyone. Second opinions.
These are 5-star reviews culled from Amazon. There's one that's really long, but it's worth it. This one's from Clay Coleman. He goes, Jane March was just excellent in this role, and she brought a lot to the table, not only with her acting ability, but with her surprising body beauty.
I will search
for more Jane March movies. 5 out of 5.
I am gross. 5 out of 5 stars.
Our next review is from Jacques Coulardeau. A soul doctor. Oh, God. This film is extremely good. Of course, since it's a head shrink film, we can imagine the twisted denouncement from the very beginning. Don't know what that means. That will have to do with sexual identification or disidentification. But at the same time, it is done well enough for us to have some kind of doubts and follow the events the way they come and be surprised by the details of the horror of these perverted psychos. I won't give you the details because that would go against the confidentiality rule I have sworn to respect once I became an almighty reviewer or critic.
I do breach that sworn confidentiality all the time, but this time, no, not at all. You can send Dexter and I won't do it either. I'm not afraid of
what?
Dexter.
I'm not afraid of Dexter?
And he will.
The character?
Yes.
I'm not afraid of fictional characters. You could send even Hannibal Lecter and I wouldn't be afraid.
If you want to know the details, you have to watch this film, but make sure you know what's the difference between a boy and a girl and vice versa. Otherwise, you might get slightly sick, which would be your punishment since you had been warned. Enjoy that trip to Los Angeles, the perfectly well-named city of angels.
What?
So many little angels are fluttering around our heads.
I don't like this.
And
person
there's some
is a
murder.
Yeah,
this reading is unbelievable.
Yeah,
this is from Dr.
Like
Jacques Coulard, University One
no,
Paris.
It is not.
That's what it says right here. And he has a
DJC. Dr. Jacques Coulard.
You know this guy.
And then this is the one, the final one, Great Willis is called. Some reviewers say this DVD has full frontal shots of Willis naked, but in the version I watch, you barely see his nude tush and just a bare glimpse of the partial front glimpse of his genitalia. Anyway, this is a big selling point when the movie came out and flopped. Bruce Willis in the nude. It can be enjoyed by today's movie buffs as a fascinating excursion into the underworld of sexual peyshopia. I don't know if that's a
just
word.
Not a word.
Not a word.
What?
But that second review is amazing.
Oh, my God.
Is there anything that we didn't really talk about the snake in the mailbox.
I think the most important thing probably is just his body in that scene, how it was still super fuckable. But yeah, he goes up to the mailbox after a run, and he opens it.
It's almost like a second thought. It's almost like he's going to pass the mailbox.
Right.
But
should
then
I get
like,
my mail? Which, it's not really your mail.
And by the are you getting mail
by the way,
there?
He should not be getting mail
but,
yet.
But that's the best. But that's like a joke where I really wondered if that was improvised, because he opens the mailbox, a rattlesnake hisses at him. He jumps back. It seems like it's going to jump on his dick, and it doesn't. And then he gets up, and he grabs the mail, and he goes, oh, a bill. And I'm like, that definitely was, I think,
an ad lib.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, Bruce, is there line?
Oh, well,
there's another ADR line. I thought it was there, but maybe somewhere else, where he screams out, this ain't going to get me back to New York.
Like, oh, that's actually not one of your subplots. Like, we're keeping it.
We let go of that.
This is my favorite Bruce Willis improvised moment. Here we go. When they're in the bathtub and he's improvising sex.
With the tank?
Yeah.
He's in the swamp. Oh, he's in the deep abyss.
And now,
oh, he's having a problem. He's up in the Swiss Alps, ladies and gentlemen.
That's her boobs.
Fire yeah. one.
He's running a tank.
Like a remote-controlled tank in the tub.
From where?
And it's connected to a wire, but this thing of him just improvising, like,
you know,
sexy
it was improvised. Everyone was, like, celebrating, like, 100%. How are you this great-looking and this great of an actor, and you're hilarious?
And the tank,
not scripted?
The tank literally shoots water on her face.
Oh, yeah. Where did they even, I mean, they were, my issue with that tank, too, is it was connected to an electrical cord.
Right, not the safest.
Yeah, not the safest thing. Well, guys,
the sex
would you recommend
scenes are terrible. This is all, I looked it up, this is only her second acting performance.
Yes.
It was The Lover to this.
I wouldn't recommend this to anyone.
Jason?
Under any circumstances.
I don't know. I gotta say, like, I would maybe watch it. I'm trying to put it in the scale of movies that we do for this podcast. It's not so terrible that I would be like, never watch this, but I would definitely, it's 2 hours long. I would maybe watch the first 20 minutes and the last 20 minutes.
I would watch all the Reuben Blades scenes over and over again.
There's something so 90s about it.
Yeah.
Like early 90s that I did enjoy. I'm not going to lie. And Leslie Ann Warren's performance, which we haven't spent enough time on. I know we're wrapping up. But it's demented in a way that is fun to watch.
There are way better movies. There are way better movies in this category.
Watch Blue Stinks.
Yeah, well, we know that. They're better movies.
But in this category of movies, what I'm saying, you know, like, watch Sea of Love. Or watch, like, if you want, like, a sexed-up, erotic, like Head Games thriller movie, you know, I feel like there are better versions of it.
Watch porn. Like,
yeah, really.
You're busy. Let's go on.
If you want to really watch this, yeah.
Basic Instinct. Sharon Stone is a therapist, isn't she?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
There is there's something about like people knowing the mind must be very 100%. Sexual.
Well, this really came out. You feel like Basic Instinct came out in 92. This is definitely in response to that. The Razzie Award people gave this a great, they created a different category, and it was worst screen couple
for any combination of two people from the entire cast. So you could do any version you want.
That is amazing.
That's great.
There is no one you want to see back in this movie.
Well, thank you so much, Amy, for coming in
Thanks
and doing this.
Thanks for having me.
Your show is on right now, when this will be airing. This will be on, and it is at 10:30. And what day is it again?
April 1st.
But what day
Tuesday.
Is it? Tuesday.
Yeah, 10:30.
So check that out. Jason, what do you want to plug?
No, nothing really.
June?
Nothing really.
You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us on How Did This Get Made at Twitter, which is HDTGM. And if you have any corrections and omissions from this episode, you can put that on our Earwolf page. Well, if you have a correction and omission for today's episode, The Color of Night, make sure you go over to earwolf.com. Under the show page, you can leave anything that we might have missed that you wanted us to talk about, and I will address that on a mini episode. Also, a big thanks to everyone here at Earwolf who makes the show possible. Our engineer Sam, our amazing clip puller Avril Haley, our researchist, I should call him a researcher, Nate Kiley, Leanna Waldron, who does all of our designs, and Katie Dyer, who does all of our social media stuff. You can follow us at HDTGM on Twitter and on our Facebook page. There's so many ways to connect with us. And you can follow me at Paul Scheer, at Paul Scheer on Twitter. That is all. We will see you next time. Bye-bye. Hey, everybody. A special thanks to NatureBox for supporting today's show. NatureBox is a monthly subscription service that delivers better snacks straight to you. These snacks are tasty, have no high fructose corn syrup, no hydrogenated oils, and no artificial flavors or colors. Go to naturebox.com/how to get 50% off your first box. Thanks for listening, y'all.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio. Boom. .com. Oh, oh, oh. The wolf dead.
Hey guys, it's Ashir
and Nicole
from Best Friends.
Our podcast has been out for a few months.
If you haven't listened to it,
you should.
We've already asked the big questions in life.
Imagine if we could lay eggs.
Okay, sure. I guess we...
Wouldn't that be funny if you could eat from yourself?
No, because that's like cannibalism.
Not when you eat yourself.
What?
Hmm?
Answer listener questions.
Hi, Nicole and Sashir. What happens if Sashir dies first? I mean, I've never thought of it.
Well,
I would be so sad.
Oh, no, Nicole. Nicole. No, I'm not gonna die.
Take BuzzFeed quizzes. Let's pick 8 foods and we'll give you a sex position to try.
Whoa.
This is wild.
Plus, we bring on other funny best friends to talk about their friendship.
I almost want to cry. I don't know why that really made me feel emotional. But
it's because it's pure to talk about
it
friendship.
It's nice.
It's so nice.
It's like so rare to like articulate it, but she's always there for me. Like I think she's just somebody who...
Oh, I love this. I love it so much.
Oh my God.
It's really sweet.
Best Friends with Nicole Byer and Sashir Zameda is new every Wednesday.
On Stitcher.
Apple Podcasts.
Spotify or wherever
you get
your
podcasts.
Listen.
Oh my God.